Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes the shortest words in our language seem to have the most complex and difficult definitions. Take the word but, for example. Depending on how it's used in a sentence, it can have as many as 15 different uses and definitions. My college dictionary that I dug out to find out a good definition of the word but, that dictionary says that but is an adversative correlator. Don't you love that word, adversative correlator? That's a lot of words for just one little word. An adversative correlator shows the opposing or the negative side between the words that are said before the word but and after. And so you make a statement, but then when you put the word but in there, it makes all of you, what you just said go away and introduces a whole new idea. Simply put, everything following the word but undergoes or negates everything that you said before that word. That's why you frequently hear people say, well, there's always a but. Sometimes those are good, sometimes they are not. And so that makes but kind of a magical word. You can say anything you want. You can go on and on about something. And then when you add that magical word but, instantly everything that you just said before that word is rendered meaningless by the statements and the words that follow. In today's lessons, God provides us with some great promises and some great warnings separated by that word but. In the Old Testament lesson, Jeremiah speaks for God in verse 5. He says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in people and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord." That's a warning. But then we go further down and read in verse 7, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord." That's a promise. To be blessed by God is to be filled with God's benefits. It's only through that trust in God that motivates us to have confident obedience in times of crisis. And when we move over to the gospel lesson, Jesus says, starting out, "Blessed are the poor and the hungry and those who weep and those who are hated because they follow me." Why are they blessed? Because their reward is going to be great in heaven. And then he goes on in the next few words, says, "But woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are already full. Woe to those who laugh now." Why? Because they already have their reward here on earth. Now, that's not to say that we should therefore take a vow of poverty, that we should not laugh, that we should not eat plentiful. But it's a warning. It's a warning that we all need to have or to be aware of, so that if we don't get too comfortable with life now, being comfortable with life now will lead us, or has the potential at least of leading us away, because we're putting our faith and our trust in earthly things. And although we didn't read it, the psalm for today, Psalm 1, says a similar thing. The psalm goes, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoffers. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff that is driven away in the wind." These are some serious warnings for us to put our faith and trust in God and not be led astray by the world that we live in. it's easy for us to be led away. The reason is that when things are going well, it's easy for us to focus on ourselves and the things around us and the things that we have accumulated and kind of take responsibility for this. Look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. I am secure in what I have. We're tempted by seeming security in earthly things. We put our faith in people's promises, and we forget God's promises, or doubt them at least. We put our faith in mammon, that is, all of the wealth and the money and the security in the things of this world, and we seek comfort in the earthly things rather than seeking comfort from God. Satan takes great pleasure in deceiving us into trusting him and the world around us more than we trust God. You might be surprised to know that this process begins at birth. Who is it that takes care of little babies? Human parents. As little children, who do we trust and believe and have confidence in? Human teachers. And as teenagers, who do we put our trust and confidence in? Our human friends. So that by the time we are adults, it's easy for us to assume that our human leaders will lead us in the right direction. And then when we get that job and that ideal career, and we work for somebody else, we have to put our trust and belief in that human person that employs us. And so the result is that we trust earthly things first and God second, if at all. It's easy for us to forget that he is the one who provides for everything that we have. Jeremiah warns us about all of this. He says, those who put their trust in human flesh are cursed. He describes them as being like a shrub in the desert. Imagine out in the middle of the sand, here's a plant growing. He says, people who are like that shrub, they do not see any good things come into their life. He says they will live in a parched place of a wilderness. He implies that when disaster comes, when they need God the most, they will be alone and without resources, like that plant in the middle of the desert that has no water and only heat. And then Jeremiah goes on. But, he says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who trusts in the Lord. He, Jeremiah says, is like a tree planted by the water that sends its root by the stream. He does not fear when heat comes, for his leaves will remain green. He's not anxious in the year of the drought because he continues to bear fruit. A tree planted by a stream has plenty of water, and that's really what that tree needs to grow and to produce fruit, is water and sunlight, so it has everything that it needs. Today, God provides us with some promises and some warnings as well. He warns us to avoid putting our trust and confidence in secular things, in houses, in people, in money, in retirement accounts. He says those who don't have everything, those people who are struggling, those are the people who are blessed. When life is hard and it's easier to keep our focus on Jesus and his saving grace. When life gets hard, the world doesn't have answers. But when life gets hard, God does. When life is easy, we have everything in abundance. And we mistakenly assume that it's all our responsibility. We have done all of the things that have gotten us where we are. We mistakenly assume that we have security in the world and in our own abilities. And that's not true, and that's not what God wants. The greatest blessing that God gives us is the faith that's placed in us at our baptism by the Holy Spirit. That saving faith cannot be taken away from you. But Satan can easily deceive us into believing that we have security in our own abilities and the world around us. So as we live by faith in this sinful world, we need to be warned against going astray, against being led astray subtly by this world that we live in. That's the warnings that God gives us. But today also, God gives us some great promises. When we focus on Him, He blesses us. To be blessed by God means that we have all of His blessings, His grace and mercy and His forgiveness, and most especially His hope of eternal life. Our Lord's words of blessings and of woes seek to guide us toward that heavenly goal. So today I encourage you to place your focus on Jesus and His primary goal for you, that we receive the forgiveness of our sins by His suffering and His death and His resurrection. And because of that forgiveness, we live with a sense of hope, the hope of our resurrection to eternal life. Indeed, there is always a but. But remember that everything said before the word but is negated by the sentence afterwards. Jesus says to us today, yes, I know that you're a sinner. I know that my Father demands perfection. And I know that you can't do that. And I know because of that, all of the sins that you have, you deserve that eternal damnation and punishment. But remember that negates everything else before. I, Jesus says, gave my life for you. I died on the cross to save you, to redeem you, to buy you back from all of this earthly mammon that is around you. And therefore, Jesus says, by my grace, you are a child of God, and you will inherit eternal life. And so I'm going to pray the prayer of the day again, and I want you to listen carefully to what that prayer said. So we pray. Father in heaven, by your mighty word, grant to us every spiritual blessing in Christ, your Son, that He may guide us through our days, keeping us safe from everything that would distract us from His constant guiding and care. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds focused on Jesus and His saving grace. Amen.